if we don't experience the fullness of the cross, we miss out on so much. The cross and resurrection, we miss out on so much. And I believe a part of that is experiencing in the way that I did that night. And it's happened a couple times since, you know, and it's this, I'm not even sure how to describe it yet, but it's this encounter with him where he wants to be there and for you to experience him in a fresh way and more. Because that's who he is. It's like he's, the Father's so generous. He has such a generous heart for his children, and yet we block it by our religious mindset, our beliefs, our heart wounds, all these things. But he wants to pour out so much more.
Hey everyone, welcome. On behalf of Disciple City, I'm Todd Carlton, and this is the Toddcast. Friends, check out our website at discipleofcity.ca to see exactly how we are equipping Christians to live a kingdom culture lifestyle and be equipped with simple tools to share the gospel. We have some big plans coming up this year across Canada and are so looking forward to sharing that with you in the coming days. We also have a free video series that you can sign up for on our website and utilize in your local church, small group, or organization. Friends, you know testimony is so important and super encouraging, so why not share your testimonies on the United Hive app? With recent updates, it's more than just sharing your story. There are heaps of resources, training videos, and ways to connect with people in your area. The United Hive app is being used all over the globe. Download it today. And please follow us along on Instagram at @Toddcast_DAC. Subscribe where you're listening and drop me an email at information@discipleofcity.ca. I'd love to know your thoughts. Well, my guest today originally hails from Ontario. She, like most of us, has been searching for many years to find some key pieces that would kick her faith into high gear. She's been an entrepreneur, dipping her toes into many ventures. She's now living in beautiful British Columbia, and she is now working for Burn Canada as a team coordinator and administrative assistant. Please welcome Cassie Landon. Oh, hey, Cass.
Oh, hey.
Hi.
I love that I'm here.
Amen.
Because, first of all, I get to encourage you. Because of you, there's so much that I've grown in, seeing the Father's heart and just your heart for Jesus and how you let Holy Spirit reside and being released in you. It's such an encouragement for everyone who experiences you, and just your authority when you're doing deliverance. I've learned so much from you, and these demons are like, oh dang, let's get out of here. So thank you for being you and just loving Jesus and loving others because of that love.
Okay. Wow. Thank you.
How do I receive this?
How do I receive such words immediately at the very beginning of the show?
It's my strategy.
That's a great strategy. Great. I'm going to throw the host from the beginning.
That's how you get things authentic.
Yes. Okay. Well, then how about this? Cassie, thank you for coming. I'm so glad that you're on the show today and back home for a visit.
Yeah.
And that we could have some time together and have also enjoyed seeing you grow in your faith and seeing how fast the trajectory can be when you say yes to the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, not that it's about doing stuff or whatever, but just how, you know, God wants to use us all. And when you say yes and completely surrender, how he's already had all these plans and you've been doing so much.
It's actually bananas what happens when you give Jesus your yes. Like, I had no idea what would come. Because even recently, there's a bunch of stuff happening in 2025, and Burn Canada and Disciple City and United Hive are, and many other ministries and businesses are coming together to expand the kingdom. And just there's so much synergy coming in with all of us. Like, we're all about evangelism and discipleship. And it's this, and of course, worship. Burn Canada is a prayer and worship movement. And it's, I'm beautifully overwhelmed by Jesus choosing me, because like all I did was give my yes. He's like, hey, that's all I need. And then just boom, boom, boom. And I'm like, what's happening? And then the calls that we're on, I'm like, pinch me. This is a dream, being surrounded by all these kingdom people. It's truly an honor.
Yeah. So before we sort of dig deep or whatever, Burn Canada, some people I think might know the affiliation with, they're sort of a key player with Burn.
Yeah. So Burn Canada, like I said, is a global worship movement. And yeah, it is global. And then through that, there's also there's three parts to this ministry: Burn Canada, then Light a Candle, which is the missions portion of all of it. So that they create teams and go to Iraq or Egypt. We had a mission trip in Canada. And then now there's a Let Us Worship movement that was established in 2021. And it's...
I
should probably turn that back on. What's his name?
His name is Sean Foyt.
Oh, yeah. Slightly.
Guess that's important.
That's important. Yeah.
Yeah.
For those of you who are not familiar with that, I would encourage you to Google that. That was, I got drawn into, well, not drawn into, that's probably the wrong words, but discovered Sean during COVID.
Yeah.
And it like really encouraged me. It inspired me. Mm-hmm. It helped push away all the like negative thoughts and vibes and feelings that we all had during that.
Yeah.
So it was really good.
Yeah. And I know that there is a lot of feelings towards Sean. Like I don't personally know him too well. Like we've encountered each other a few different times, even though he's like the main boss, but it's more Nikki, who's the national director, that obviously is in communication with him.
And who both of which you will connect the Toddcast with, right? Yes. For the show. Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll work on that. But a lot of people have their thoughts and feelings about Sean, but something that really sparked my heart and made me respect him was that choice to start Let Us Worship in 2021, because there's a movie called Super Spreader, which is basically about how Let Us Worship began. And one of the things he says is he lives in California. And one of the things that the governor said at that time was, okay, at church, you can't sing, but then bars and strip clubs and everything were open. And Sean says that there was a roar inside of him that just, he couldn't get it settled. And he just started to Let Us Worship. So they went to the Golden Gate Bridge and just did a Jesus march. And even the police, and this is in the movie, the police talk about how it's actually a gift, because that's where like so many suicides in California happen, right? People just jump. And so the police were encouraged that this was happening.
That's amazing. Yeah. I actually didn't know that. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that's how the beginning of that came.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's wild.
So yeah, so he started Burn in, I think, 2008. You get to fact check me on the year, but this started in his dorm.
We don't fact check you here. If anybody lies on the Toddcast, God knows.
So this is a mainstream media. Sorry, shouldn't start talking about that here. Yeah, so, but it started in his dorm and then it just exploded from there. And then he grew up as a missionary. And he'll tell you more when he's on the Toddcast in Jesus' name. He'll get on here, but he's really a heart of revival and worship and seeing people come to Jesus and be free. And that's what I'm attracted to, right? Because a bit of my testimony is I grew up in the church. And you didn't grow up in the church, right? You were saved in a really beautifully radical way. I remember hearing a story about you and your truck when you were smoking.
I went to Catholic school. So I grew up in Catholicism. So I like...
Got it.
You know, knew the stories of Jesus and stuff. Yeah. And anyways, it's good that you jumped into that because that was my first question. Like, what's the backstory of Cassie Landon?
Yeah. So I grew up in the church and how I experienced it was very religious. It was almost like a karmic way, like do good and get blessed, do bad and then you're punished. So I was so much on like, hey, make sure I do A and B, like follow the laws, follow the Bible and like make sure you don't do any wrong because then God's going to get mad at you and you're going to get in a timeout and just all of these huge lies that the enemy was throwing at me, right? And so I, of course, put that on other people, including my sisters, right? So I was a very judgmental and not the kindest person, even though that's my nature, to be kind. But I was going, no, like, you can't trump God. Like, this is what he says. And it was also a lot of guilt focus. And I remember hearing this phrase, like, oh, Cass, every time you sin, it's like you're nailing Jesus' hand to the cross again. And it's just like...
You heard that as a kid?
Yeah.
That's kind of heavy.
Isn't that heavy? And so it's just like, oh, that's very interesting. And then also, oh, what was the other one? Oh, like it blesses God to be broke. Like it honors God if you don't make any money. And I'm like, that's just such a strategic lie from the enemy because you can expand the kingdom even more when you have the resources. But anyways, I can go on this forever. But it wasn't until maybe 3 or 4 years ago where I actually encountered the true Jesus. Because when I was following all the rules and regulations of the Bible, I was missing out on him. Because the religious mindset is so influential, as I'm sure you can attest, right?
Yeah, but you were still pursuing him, right? Because it's like usually that kind of stuff drives people completely away. So it didn't drive you completely away from your faith.
No, and I think it's because my dad was like that. So I wanted to be like my dad, right? So he was experiencing a lot of religiosity. And so he's passing that on. But there was also just this hunger of like, hey, there's more. And then I was...
That... is the key word.
Yeah. More.
More.
If you guys roll with Todd, you know what's happening here. Any disciple of the city, like Francisco, Adam, like everyone's more. And then they're...
More is good.
More is good. And so I think it was 2018 or so, I was super involved in the church, like young adults and just a bunch of different things and working full time and doing ministry because I've always felt called to ministry because I love seeing... Like, I love being in the front lines, and I love leadership and so many things. And then I felt like the Lord told me something, and then that didn't come to fruition. So I thought God lied to me, and I was so angry because I was like, hey, like, I'm doing all the right things. Like, what happened? Like, I was doing da-da-da. And then I completely spiraled. I was like, God, forget you. Like, I went to this ridiculous, rebellious phase because I felt so angry and hurt. And that was, again, a strategy from the devil, right? Like, how much can we defer her from the truth? And so I went out drinking, and I met up with guys I shouldn't have. I made choices with them, and then just shopped because I was making decent money. I would shop just trying to fill that hole because I'm like, hey, well, God, forget you. Like, I was, and when I say that now, I'm like, oh, Jesus, thank you for your grace. Because it was so, like, that's what happens when your heart is broken, right? Like, you try and fill it with so many other things, but... when nothing can fill it, like you have no choice but to turn to Jesus. And then after my self-destructive phase, if you will, I ended up dating this guy who wasn't a believer, but we're praying for his salvation. I've had a couple of dreams that him and his wife will come to Jesus, which is super exciting. But I was so focused on receiving love. And at that time, that was the only way I would receive love. But even from a non-believer, like Jesus was showing me his character, like through this guy I was dating. I'm like, okay. And so after him and I broke up, that guy ended up really hurting me. Instead of going back to that self-destructive place, I'm like, no, God, like, I'm going to choose you. And then through that, I got deeper connected to Disciple City. I ended up at Come Together and got to the Airbnb. And then Todd and another friend, Francisco, literally chased me around the kitchen because everyone was getting slain. Like, everyone was getting drunk. And coming from a religious background, I'm like, I don't want to be one of these charismatic, crazy Christians. Like, I'm fine in my corner watching people. But then there was something on you with Francisco, and you guys just, like, touched me. And then I was like, oh, shoot, why can't I get up? And why am I laughing even though nothing's happening around me? I'm just laughing. And that lasted for hours.
Drunk in the spirit.
Drunk in the spirit, yes.
Disclaimer.
Let's say that clearly, yeah.
You missed a key point there, though, that maybe you wouldn't say, but others would say. Mm. So you had come to a lot of, like, little events that we had done, right? Mm-hmm. But what about, talk about your decision, because I know the story, but I don't want to say it, but talk about your decision to go to Come Together. First of all, for those of you listening who might not know, Come Together was a big stadium event that occurred in Saskatoon in 2023.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In 2023 in Saskatoon at a hockey arena with evangelist Terrell Smith speaking, Bill Pranker, Jacob Walda. Mm-hmm. And it was a Billy Graham type-ish of event, right? Designed with worship music and bringing people in to celebrate the love of Jesus and bringing people in to encounter Jesus. But So talk about the why, what made you decide to go to that and what you offered to do?
So I felt compelled to go because I really believe that Canada's on the brink of like an extraordinary revival, right? And so I was like, oh, I really want to go. But I didn't have the resources. So I'm like, Lord, I feel called to go. I want to serve. I don't care where you're going to have me, but I just want to be there for what you're starting. Then I talked to a really dear friend of ours, who I won't name because he's incredibly humble. But he asked me, he's like, Cass, if you had the resources to go, would you go? I'm like, without question. He's like, okay, I'm going to basically sponsor you. Like, I'm going to pay for your way. And I'm like, pardon? And then you guys put me in places and I was just there to serve. Like, I was like, well, Lord, I think it was merch, right? Yeah. So I got to do merch for Disciple City and really just serve my heart out, be wherever was needed, like whatever it was, even if I didn't like it, I was like, I get to be there. So,
which is the, excuse me, that's really key. Mm. That's something that I've shared with people like who don't know you or your story or whatever, but it's the example of the fact that you just wanted to go and you just wanted to serve and you didn't care where, right? Because oftentimes we want to go somewhere, we want to do something specific, and if we can't do that, then we're not going or whatever, right? Sometimes we might have, and maybe, I don't know, maybe that's somebody processing and learning through selfishness, or maybe that's the enemy trying to get inside and prevent people from going and growing.
Yeah.
But, you know, the fact that, and so the backstory is that we were all in the same plane.
Oh, yeah.
We flew in there together.
Yep.
I had a significant role at this event. And and our flight got delayed for like 7 hours.
It was so stressful.
So we were late going in. So we were all going to go together to wherever we were going or whatever. And then we got picked up at the airport with minimal spaces in the car. And you, there was like, sorry, Cassie, we can't take you. And you were totally like, yeah, that's okay. I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Ever been to Saskatoon before?
Passing through.
But you figured it out, right? And stuff like that. But anyways, the point I'm trying to make is that you just said yes, that you were willing to go and serve in whatever capacity. Yeah. And doing merch on a concourse when there's people speaking in bands, like, people want to be down there in it.
Yeah.
And you were willing to serve. And I think, like, the Lord blessed you because of your servant heart. You just, whatever, whatever you want me to do, I'll just do it. So that's kind of the backstory.
Yeah.
Folks. And that's why Cassie got blasted by the Lord, I think. Like, I don't know. That's what I feel in my heart, right? Like, the Lord blesses you or touches you in a certain way because you just said yes to serve in whatever capacity.
Yeah. And I truly believe, yes, when you are going to serve somewhere, you like volunteer, whichever, like, even if you're in a paid position or whatever, if you don't come with a heart of service, you're going to miss out on blessings. I fully believe that. Right. And like, I remember us having a conversation about a couple of people who were like, oh, if I'm not in this prayer position, then I'm not going to volunteer. And that triggers me. Because I'm like, then why are you here? And I know, like you said, like, everyone's growing and there's so much more behind the scenes. But my immediate reaction is, if you're not here to serve, then just attend. Right? But anyway, I digress. I go on that for a long time.
Yeah. And I just, like, not that it's about a feeling, right? Because it's about faith.
Yeah.
Todd White's always said that's something that's resonated with me, right? Like, if you encounter the presence of God and you actually feel something, that's great. But it's not about that. Yeah. Otherwise, you will chase that.
Yes.
Right. And it's not about that.
Yeah.
But that night for you or whatever, you got to encounter physically, tangibly the presence of the Lord. And it wasn't me. It wasn't Francisco. Right. It was totally him.
Yeah.
But I believe, anyways, in my heart, that stemmed out of you, your willingness to just serve him and him wanting to show you more of his heart, more of who he is, more of his power, more of his love, all of that, you know?
I completely agree. And I believe it was also part of the religious mindset going away. And it's been like, I consistently get to renew my mind, right? Because not everyone has a supernatural encounter where everything's like healed overnight. It can happen, but that's not my experience, right? So when I'm experiencing Holy Spirit, being slain in the Spirit, I'm like, I could not understand. I like to be logical, right? I like to be like, hey, this is happening because here and all those things. I couldn't logicalize what was happening. I just knew that I was safe. I knew I was experiencing something unfamiliar, and that's okay. Right? Because again, growing up in the church, I had never experienced that, you know? And then I saw some stuff in a charismatic church. I'm like, oh, that's good for them. Like, they may have a different gift or something. But I was on the way here. It's around Christmas, by the way. So if you're watching, I'm wearing a cute little bow. But when I was here, driving here, I was thinking about how we're not the Israelites anymore in the sense of walking through the desert, having to follow all of these regulations, because we have Jesus and he is our promised land. Right. And so, and that is, of course, like we said, doesn't mean we don't repent and change our ways. Yes, we're called to do that. But to if we don't experience the fullness of the cross, we miss out on so much. The cross and resurrection, we miss out on so much. And I believe a part of that is experiencing in the way that I did that night. And it's happened a couple times since, you know, and it's this, I'm not even sure how to describe it yet, but it's this encounter with him where he wants to be there and for you to experience him in a fresh way and more. Because that's who he is. The Father's so generous. He has such a generous heart for his children, and yet we block it by our religious mindset, our beliefs, our heart wounds, all these things. But he wants to pour out so much more.
Well, yeah, and sometimes it's weird, or it can feel weird.
Oh, totally.
People say it's weird.
Yeah, and I kept saying to you that night, because you put your hand on my head, and I'm like, Todd, why is your hand so hot? Like, no, I did not experience that with anyone else, but there was like, your hand was so hot on my head. And I was like, hey, like, again, trying to be logical, but hey, is he anointing me with something? Is it like, is he healing me? Is it a deliverance thing? Like, what is it, right? But I still don't know that answer.
I don't either. It wasn't me.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. Because like,
for context, I was just praying for Cassie. And sometimes you gently place your hand on top of somebody's head and just pray for them. Yeah. That's right. Just for context.
I'm glad you're doing that, because I forget not everyone was there.
No, nobody listening was there.
Awkward. Yeah. But it was, and then, yeah, Francisco would come and do the same thing, whether it was on my shoulder or my head, but it wasn't hot. So I still don't. And I think the other thing with the religious mindset is that we feel like we have to understand so we're not missing anything, you know, or it's just also how our brain works, you know, strategy and logistically and everything. But there's some things it's okay not to know and just receive whatever the Lord did, you know, which can be hard for some people, especially being raised in the church.
Yeah. And you know what, in a, you're just making me think of some things now, just like I've had tangible encounters, which is one of the things that's made it so real for me, or made him so real for me. And again, not that it's about that or you need that, because it's about our belief, right, in him as our Lord and Savior. Yeah. But because of that, like oftentimes it's just like my heart, you know, we get Christ's heart, and my desire is that people experience him.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'm just thinking in hindsight, not that that was my thought at the time necessarily, but just like my desire is that people experience something.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
That makes him real to them so they can be free.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I agree with that so much, especially because I do feel like one of my callings is for the body of Christ. And I say that because there's people who think going to Sunday church is enough, but they're missing out on him. But that's what the religious spirit does. It makes you miss out on him. And that's so upsetting, because go ahead.
Well, nothing. You're right. Like, Sunday church is great. We're it's great to gather, you know, in big numbers and worship together and corporate worship and get a powerful teaching from a teacher and a pastor and stuff like that. But there is so much more. It is more. It's more than that. Right. It's like, when the Sermon on the Mount, there would have been, that's like a big church, right?
Yeah.
Thousands of people there hearing this powerful, but more stuff happened when he was alone with the 12.
Yes.
Or when he broke off with just a couple of them or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's way more than that. Hey.
There's so much more. And I think that there's this mindset, if you just say the prayer once and you go to church, then it's good. I'm not saying it's not good. Like, I believe there can still be that, like, not ticket to heaven, but you still spend eternity with Jesus. But salvation is more than just for heaven. Like, it's to expand his kingdom here and be more people with us. And I feel like the enemy's done such a great job in keeping us in the four walls. And again, I'm not bashing traditional church. I love my church, and there's more. There's so much more that the cross and resurrection has to offer, but yet we're not getting it because we don't always experiencing it, because tradition is just stay in the four walls, and that's changing.
Yeah. And I think too, people need to get out of themselves.
Yeah.
And forget about what other people think. Who cares what other people think?
Absolutely.
But just within yourself, seek him, whatever that looks like for you.
Yeah. Right? And when you mentioned the Sermon on the Mount, yeah, there were tons of people, but more happened with the 12 and then the 3. And then it was just Jesus and the Father. So there's a place, when you enter this secret place, when it's just you and him, you go deeper and you can serve better. You can lead better. You can love better. Because on our own strength, we are not strong no matter how much we want to be. But when it's coming from his heart, like you said earlier, when it comes from his heart, not that things are easier, but there's a greater reason why we want to serve. And I think when it comes to servant-heartedness, it's so easy to think about what can I get out of this? You know, and that used to be my heart, to be honest, you know, and I was like, oh, I'll volunteer here, volunteer there. Oh, look at Cass. Like, she volunteers everywhere. Like, we really appreciate her, because there was a bunch of father wounds and orphan spirit wounds that were coming out of me. But now I'm like, okay, Lord, where do I get to serve to expand your kingdom? And often it's behind the scenes, which is interesting because I love being in the spotlight sometimes. Like, I don't mind speaking. I don't mind, you know, being on social media. Like, all of that is great for me. But there's so much that happens behind the scenes that people don't see, but the Lord sees it. Like, there's not one thing that he misses. And whether it's like scrubbing toilets or doing admin, Lord Jesus, help me. Or it's in front of the stage, like, it doesn't matter. Because as long as it's for the Lord, it all counts, you know? And when we try and do it for our own accord, then there is something that's missing. Like, you're missing out on what Jesus can give you and how he can work through you.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. Cassie, just going back to Come Together, what were you doing for work at that time? Was that one of your entrepreneur things? Yeah. Or what were you doing?
Yeah, I was running a business. So I used to work with people who had disabilities like Down syndrome and autism and lots of other things. And so, yeah, I was running a business and growing it, costs and then taxes. And there was so much behind the scenes of that, right? And I missed out on income going to Come Together. But that didn't matter to me.
Yeah. But I'm just looking at you've done a lot of different things, right? Because mm-hmm. you've done your own like marketing and different yeah. things, right? You've tried different things.
Yeah. Yeah. There's been a lot that I have pursued.
Just yeah. rip through some of yeah. the things that you've done just so like.
Yeah. So traditionally, like work a normal 9-to-5, same thing. I worked at a day program with people with disabilities, created programs, paperwork, and also just, you know, support them with living an abundant life. And then quit that and then started my own business doing something similar. And I was actually going to begin to build a nonprofit. And then the Lord's like, I even hired a business coach and spent like a significant amount on this business coach. Only for the last month to say, actually, Kat, the Lord told me, okay, you're done. Like, this isn't what's happening. And I'm like, Lord, I'm going to need more because I had this vision, but I didn't talk to him about it. I was like, oh no, this makes sense. I'm good at it. So let's just go. Then turns out like within a month, the Lord's like, you're moving to BC. I'm like, I should have consulted with you at the beginning, but anyway. And then I was also in network marketing, selling health and fitness products, and then got my personal training stuff and just ready to like help people with their health. And I'm super passionate about like a lot of beneficial things that happen for the body. So like, why is garlic good for you? Why is zinc good for you? And all those other, what you call nerdy stuff. But I'm fascinated by that.
I take zinc.
Nice.
I just ate an avocado in front of you in the green room too. That's why it's the green room.
Green room. I know you got your,
I didn't offer you the other half of the avocado.
No, I was waiting.
Would you have eaten it?
No.
Okay, good. Cause I want it for my lunch.
Yeah. Yes. I love that stuff. And even fitness too. I definitely get to get back on track with my fitness, and that's a whole other thing me and the Lord are working through. But yeah, and then yeah, I was doing selling network marketing stuff like healthy protein shakes and things like that. And I put all that on pause. Like, I am not doing any of that anymore. I'm solely focused on where the Lord's calling me into for what's happening for Canada.
Okay, so what happened? Was it before Come Together or after? Like, what happened? What was the transition from being an entrepreneur? Because a lot of people that get into that can be very successful. So mm-hmm. what was the transition with giving that up to doing what you're doing today? How did that work?
It was actually when the first month moving to BC, I'm like, hey, like, so I'm going to be here and I'm going to do ministry and then create these,
why did you move to BC?
Oh my goodness. So, man, this is going to take longer than 45 minutes, pal. But so.
No, like, why did you move to BC in 10 seconds and go?
So I went on this missions trip that Francisco was leading, another Disciple of City staff. and he was leading it. And then I ended up going within 3 days' notice, completely paid. So Nikki,
where was that? What trip was that?
It was in Vancouver. So it was before Let Us Worship in Vancouver in 2023. And so I got connected to Nikki, who's a national director, but I didn't know that at the time.
Okay.
And so she invited me out to join the team because someone else dropped out. So I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll go. And then someone paid for my flight, didn't have to fundraise. I literally just got to go and then got there and then, you know, showed, like, was just being myself in leadership and servanthood and all the things. And she took notice of me. And then a couple months later, she's like, so what would it look like for you to move out here and help me build what I'm building? I'm like, let me pray about it. And I felt I felt that I got to go. And that was really hard because I love my church family and my physical family so much here. But I was like, Lord, you have my yes. And giving your yes comes at a cost more often than not. And so it's how much are you willing to sacrifice to give God your yes, right?
Yeah, but then also, yeah, yes, 100% true. But also, you're in the mountains.
Yeah, that's a...
like...
yeah, no complaints about that.
Right?
Yeah. It is a really...
what are you sacrificing?
What are you really sacrificing?
1 degree freezing rain or mountains, snow caps.
Yeah, that's true. No complaints there.
No, I understand what you mean, though. Yeah. It's as beautiful as places are, right? When you move from your home, your hometown, your area, your family, your friends, what you know.
Yeah.
Even if it's beautiful, it's still something, right? And I'm sure you've met people there because I've met people, as most of us people listening have, in the most beautiful places in the world where people want to get out. They don't like it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And so to answer your question, when I moved out to BC in January, I was listening, I was going through a 31-day Proverbs challenge with Pedro something, and it was very much about business stuff and also using wisdom. And one of the things, because I literally had a plan. I was like, hey, I'm going to create these things to sell. I'm going to join this. I'm going to do that and do ministry. I was like, how can I make money? How can I do all these things? But then during this challenge, he said, if you have too many things on the go, you're coming out of a place of desperation rather than faith. And I was like, felt super convicted. And of course, it's not wrong to create those things.
Say that again.
If you have too much on the go and you're trying to make all of this money, you're coming out of a place of desperation rather than faith. And I felt so convicted. I was like, Lord, I get to lay all this down. And so I did. And I'm a missionary trying to raise support. So I'm like, hey, Lord, what's the deal? How is this all going to work out? And because again, the religious mindset and the control that I had, I'm like, I got to take care of myself. And then noticing that, I'm like, oh, actually, the Lord wants to take care of me. And there's so many testimonies I could share from that in the last couple of months. But yeah, so that's kind of what happened after that. So I'm solely on ministry right now.
So, and leading up, or maybe this is part of it too, but all of a sudden, this was wild for me to watch, right? Just seeing you come together. Mm-hmm. And give your yes and do all that. And then all of a sudden, boom, you're... and, you were doing all the entrepreneur stuff. You go to come together, you move to BC, and then all of a sudden you're getting invites to women's conferences and different things in the US and you're speaking. And
yeah.
Was that while you were working with Burn, or was that pre? Or
so that was pre. So one of my best friends, Emily, runs this ministry slash business, and she holds a conference every year. So I drove down there to serve her. And the next year she asked me if I wanted to speak. And that, oh man, that was, you don't even know all that. Anyways, 3 people got saved after I spoke. And Amen. Then a lot of women came back to their identity as a daughter of God during that message that I said. And the thing is, the other thing, oh, the Lord's so funny. And you get to roll with the Lord, okay? That's the biggest thing, because I had a message in place. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to talk about renewing the mind and leadership because it's a women's leadership conference. I'm like, this is my jam. I'm going to do da da da. And then 3 days before I go, the Lord's like, actually, you're going to talk about this. And I'm like, pardon? Again, not prepared. But I feel like that's such a gift, because the less prepared we are, the more he can do.
Yeah, that's happened to me too, where you think you want to say something and it's like, no.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, but then again, that surrender, right? Because I could have easily been like, oh no, Lord, let's do that another time. But then who knows if those women would have came back to Jesus? Who knows that those women would have been restored back in their true identity? I don't know, but I'm just so thankful that I chose to be obedient, because he can do so much more with our yes than our no, obviously.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So, Cassie, what exactly, let's talk a little bit more about Burn Canada.
Yeah.
Is that the Canadian affiliate of Sean's ministry, or is it its own ministry and he's sort of like joined with that to help him in Canada, or what? How does that work?
So it's all under Sean. So yeah, so there's like Burn US and Burn, I think, is there one in India? I can't remember. But then obviously Burn Canada, right? So he's overseeing Nikki, who's overseeing the nation.
Okay, and so Let Us Worship obviously is the worship portion. Mm-hmm. Is Burn Canada just sort of the title of the ministry, or what? Or is that a sort of a separate thing to Let Us Worship?
Yeah, great question. So the U.S. has just revamped some of their stuff. So it's now Start, Sustain, Send. So the Start is Let Us Worship. So these radically beautiful days of worship, people come saved, healed, delivered, baptized. And then Sustain. So then our vision is that each of the 10 cities that we go to, there is a burn established in those cities. And so that means extended time of worship. There's going to be people that are willing to host weekly, monthly, bi-monthly, whichever times of worship outside or in, like whatever it looks like, right? So that's the Start. And then the Sustain is the burn, keep the fire going, and evangelism outreach as well. So that's really cool. And then Send. Send into the harvest. So send either overseas or even in your own backyard.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So we're recording this now just before Christmas, but this episode will actually be airing in January.
Sweet.
And so I don't know. So there are Canadian dates. I don't know if that at that time is open to what those dates are or whatever, but people can find those dates at the release of this episode.
Yeah. Yeah, so if anyone's curious, check out burncanada.ca or com. Pretty sure it's com, but let me confirm because that'll be embarrassing.
Canada should be CA, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, but I don't want to. That was .com. Okay.
Is it?
Yeah, so burncanada.com. I'm glad I checked that. Yeah, because there's so much that's going on. Yeah, and that's what I'm so excited about, because there's 100K harvest that you guys are doing, and then Let Us Worship, like, everything seems to be coming together so beautifully for what Jesus is about to do.
Sounds like a great name for a stadium event.
Whoa.
Come together.
Brilliant. who could have thought
there is
of that?
There is a lot happening this year. Yeah. Right? Yeah. There will be a lot happening.
Yeah.
So for some context, friends, you can check out that website, burncanada.com. Mm-hmm. Is there an Instagram, Facebook page for Burn as well?
Yeah, so you can look up Burn Canada on Instagram and Facebook, and you should find us there.
Okay, and so Sean is coming to do Let Us Worship 10 cities across Canada. Mm-hmm. You can look up to see where those all are. Like you say, Disciple City is doing a big initiative this year.
Yeah.
So that more to come on that in future episodes, because we'll have Adam, who loves snow.
Yeah.
Loves winter. So I'll have him here in the winter, his favorite season of the year. We'll talk more about what we're doing with Disciple City. And there will be also a come together event,
which
we'll wait and see and hear what that's going to look like and where and stuff like that. Yeah. So what is on the agenda for you in the coming months?
Oh, my goodness. So one of my favorite things that we get to do, and this is the ripple effect of Disciple City and how you guys loved me, was you guys teach evangelism tools, right?
Yeah, we teach discipleship too.
Yeah, that too. So my context is, so you guys raised me up, and now I get to travel and equip people in those tools so they can go back to their cities and raise up their communities and how to share the gospel and create their own outreach teams.
Amen.
It's wild.
Yeah. It's like the gospel.
Whoa. Mind blowing.
Amen. It's good.
Yeah. So that's one thing. And then continually, and Let Us Worship takes so much work behind the scenes. Like, people see the one day and like, oh, this is awesome. But we've been planning stuff since November, like getting teams in place and getting contacts and all these things for one day, but the ripple effect of that one day. You know, so 10 cities, 5 in the east and 5 in the west, and seeing what Jesus is going to do. Like, I don't think we're prepared in any capacity of what Jesus is about to do, but we are in a way, right? Like, we know it's going to be extraordinary, and we just get to be in excellence and pursue all the back end stuff and see what's going to happen.
Yeah. There was actually one here, right? Last year. Cause I know I missed it. Was it Hamilton?
Yeah, in Hamilton.
Yeah. Were you out for that?
No,
or were
unfortunately.
You're
no.
Still busy. But that was pretty successful. Hey.
Yeah.
That was the only Canadian date last year?
No, there were four.
There was four?
Yeah. Yeah. So there was Halifax, Hamilton, Calgary, and Fort Langley.
Oh yeah, that's right. He was in BC too.
The Hamilton one, by the way, Jesus Festival was the day after, and then Jesus Festival is happening again in Hamilton. So look up that on Instagram. But one of the quick testimonies, because I can see the timer, one of the greatest testimonies I've heard this year.
You're not supposed to look at the timer. I look at the timer.
Okay. Sorry. I'm new to this. But in Hamilton, there was a huge rainstorm. But the team felt, okay, you know, we just get to prepare, like God part the sky, like all those things. And the rain left, but there was a rainbow. And so they started singing and hosting the event. And this guy was in apartment buildings just near the park where Sean was singing and the whole event happened. He opened his door window to look at the rainbow and heard the music and literally ran to that park and fell at the feet of one of our friends. Okay. And he gave his life to Jesus. Yeah, I'm feeling him too. It's like, hey.
Wow, that's so good.
and then this guy literally falls at the feet of one of our friends and accepts Jesus. And he's like, I was about to commit suicide today until I heard the music.
Wow, that's amazing.
And I'm like, what? And there's so many testimonies like that, right? Because Jesus is so ready to set people free. He's so ready and eager because he sees the pain of people. He sees their plans. He sees everything. And he's so ready to grab them like, hey, no, like I'm your home. I'm your safe place. But people don't know because the church is not, well, I'm going to be calm. We get to grow in sharing the hope of Jesus and the gospel, right? And so that guy got saved. I believe he got baptized. I'm not too sure, but yeah, it was just like that encounter that he had. And then another girl in Fort Langley was also considering that. And then she was like, yeah, like I've been self-harming and I was ready to end it. But then I came to this and now I'm like encountering the Lord. And I'm like, what is, and then even, oh my gosh, that's another testimony. There's so many. I feel like we get to have a Toddcast Lotus Worship testimony time, but a lot of people are turning away from the lies that the world and the enemy has told them, right? And then coming to Jesus who is healing them and freeing them. And, oh, do we have time for that one more testimony?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think it was in Halifax. So this woman that transitioned to a man, like surgery and everything, took a lot of testosterone and all those things, gave her, and she was living with a woman, I believe, and they had adopted kids and all these things. And she came to this event and the doctors told her she had like, I think 5 or 6 years left to live because of how much the testosterone affected her liver or kidneys or something. And she comes to this event, encounters the Lord, is now detransitioning. And then she went to the doctor to talk about her health. It's like, oh, well, you're fine now. There's no issues with your liver.
All of a sudden, just fine.
Amen. And so now the person she was living with, now they've been working at the logistics. They sleep in separate rooms now, like completely transformed. And that ruffles a lot of feathers in outside the church, but people don't know what they don't know.
Yeah.
Right. But it's the healing power of Jesus.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And you know, it just speaks to like, you're free to live your life the way you want. Mm-hmm. But the encouragement behind this is just like, it's what you said from the beginning, right? It's not about religious rules.
Yeah.
It's not about do this or do that.
Yeah.
It's just about seek him,
yes.
Seek the Lord,
yeah.
On your own. Forget about what people say.
Yeah.
Step out of yourself and just seek the truth in him.
Yeah.
Let him in. And see what happens and see the transformation.
That's exactly
from whatever lifestyle you're living,
yeah.
Whatever that looks like.
Yeah.
He wants to heal and love and transform you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's our responsibility as the church, is to love people where they're at and let Jesus do the rest. So respectfully, I don't care in the sense of like what lifestyle you're living, if you're gay, straight, trans, if you're addicted to something, if you're religious, like my opportunity and honor is to love you.
You know what the other big one is people who everything's going great. Mm-hmm. They got all kinds of money.
Yep.
Nuclear family. Everything's fine. Don't need Jesus.
Right.
That's another one.
Totally. Yeah. That's a good point. Is that I don't have to be all this really evident stuff, right? It can be, yeah, exactly like you said. So we get to love people where they're at. And I feel like, again, the religious mindset wants to tell you, oh, like they're living that way. You have to judge them and that will change them. That never works. Shame and judgment, it never works to change people and bring them to Jesus because that's not his character, right? He loves people and then transforms them.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Awesome. Well, Cassie, look at the number.
I'm a talker.
No, it's good. It's good. We're good. So burncanada.com, friends. Mm-hmm. Facebook, Instagram, check that out. Check those out for the 10 dates that Sean will be coming to Canada. 5 mm-hmm. in the east, 5 in the west.
Yep.
A couple of them central.
Yeah.
There'll be some Ontario stuff.
Yes.
There'll be some Ontario stuff too. Mm-hmm. So that's all good. Cassie, I have a final question for you. Friend?
Yeah.
Ready?
Okay.
You talked about going to these conferences while you discovered who you are in him, but you talked about going to a couple of these conferences in the States where you got to speak and stuff and help some other women discover their identity in him mm-hmm. and being daughters of Christ.
Yeah.
Can you just explain in a few words what that means? What one of the conversations you would have had or some of like the Cole's notes of you speaking to some, another woman who either doesn't know or who has lost their identity in Christ and what that means.
Wow. I consistently talk about my story coming back to the Lord is the same heart posture of the woman who was bleeding for 12 years. And she's like, just touching the hem of his garment will heal me. And it's her faith that healed her. And that's the only time in the Gospels where Jesus calls someone daughter. So there's a restoration. And if you got, I can't remember where it is. I feel it's in Mark and I think John, but she spent all she had trying to get better. She went to doctors. She did all the things. And she was in that culture that she was isolated. People would reject her. She's considered unclean, all the things. And that's how I felt. And so when I developed and continue to develop understanding who I am as a daughter, the authority and intimacy that happens, man, we can cast out demons. Like, oh, we could tell so many testimonies about that. But when we have the authority to experience him, we have the authority to cast out demons. Of course, everyone has that. But when you understand a deeper revelation of who you are to him and who he is, everything changes. Everything changes. So if I'm talking to someone who's like, hey, like I've been going to church or I've been feeling this way or I'm off track with the Lord, I invite you to ask the Lord who you are to him and let him speak. You may hear a word. You may see something in the sky right now, whatever. Just ask him. He's so eager. He's so eager to restore us back into the original design of calling us his son and daughter. You know, so I'm not sure if that really answers your question, but there's such a gift of just reaching out and just touching the hem of his garment. Because there was a hunger for her healing. There was a hunger for restoration. There was a hunger for knowing him because she believed what everyone was saying. Right? And so we get to believe what he says. So.
Amen. Thank you, Cassie.
Yeah, thank you.
That was awesome.
Yeah. That was fun. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Good luck next year. Be blessed, my friend.
Yeah, you too.